Well, I mean, God is good, eh? All right. At the moment, I'm busy sharing a series on understanding curses. Let me start off again by saying that depending on what church you grew up in, you either think I'm talking rubbish now or you're sort of open to listening to what I'm going to say. But I want to just touch on that, and I want to say to you that there is a scripture in the Bible that says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions about stuff out there. Some of them have studied long and hard to have apparently these opinions. The Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. You can give two different people a verse of scripture. One spirit-filled, one intelligent. Which one is going to be able to tell you what God says? How many of you know intelligence in the kingdom of God can sometimes be a stupid thing? You might be thinking now he's lost his marbles. No, I've not. Because intelligence comes up with what man says. But the spirit comes up with what God says. And this is where we have a problem. I will never forget the one day a cell group invites me to come and speak. They invite me to come and speak on the whole thing about demons. Are demons real? Do they exist? The devil, is he real? Curses, are they real? Do they exist? How do they work? Etc., etc., etc. Now you must take into account that I am being invited by these people to come and speak on this topic, which would naturally lead me to assume that they probably want to learn, am I right? So I take my Bible and I start showing them how this stuff works. After I'm finished showing them what the Word of God says, not what I say, what the Word of God says about these things, a young man jumps up, he says, this is rubbish. I said, excuse me? He says, this is the biggest load of nonsense I've ever heard. It'll never, God will never allow this to happen. I said, hello, what Bible do you read? No, he doesn't care anything that I said tonight. He wants me to know something that the God that he serves will never allow these things to happen. It's just, it'll never happen. I found out later that his dad is a Dominie. Hello? What's wrong with this picture? And I can almost guarantee you that his view is influenced by his father, who grew up a certain way, who learned a certain something. I want to share this with you. This is quite amazing. I preached in a church. They've got three dominies, three ministers. So a whole bunch of things happen. Demons come popping out of people. The Dominie's eyes are all this big because according to them, they had the perfect congregation until I touched the first person and the demon started screaming. You know, then they realized, ooh, maybe we got some problems here. So afterwards, now they ask a lot of questions. Praise God for asking questions. That's the only way to learn. They ask a lot of questions. How does this work and how does that work and what about this and what about that? And I'm helping and I'm teaching and I'm enjoying it. But I realized very quickly that these oaks, they know nothing. With all due respect, they know nothing. And I ventured a question of my own. I said, listen, you guys, you studied how many years? No, they studied about 7 years. I said, please explain to me, in the 7 years that you spent studying, how much time did you actually spend understanding the kingdom of darkness and how the devil works? Nothing. There's your problem. Do you know that the devil is real? Now, I don't care what you think. The Bible says he's real. There was something real giving Jesus a hard time in the desert. Hello? How many of you know Jesus didn't smoke Zol? So he wasn't on a pluck when he thought somebody came and spoke to him in the desert. Come on. And I want to tell you something, for in case you're one of those people that's too clever for yourself, he didn't have sunstroke either. There was a devil that came and spoke to him. Hello? And that same devil he met in a lot of people, and he cast that same devil out of a lot of people. I know we've done this before, but let's just quickly go back. We're going to look at the book of Mark, chapter 1, because it's just the best way to show you. I want you to take a look at my Bible. There is the book of Mark, chapter 1. If you take a quick notice, there's like nothing happens before this. This is the very, very beginning. Let me read you this. Mark, chapter 1. Here's my heading in my Bible. John the Baptist prepares the way. That is Mark, chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 12. Then the calling of the first disciples, verse 14 to verse 19. Then, verse 21. Jesus has just come out of the desert. He's called a couple of disciples to follow him, and he walks into the first church that presents itself. This is what happens in that church. Verse 21, they went into Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to teach. Is there anything wrong with teaching the word of God? It's necessary. Please look at your neighbor and say, you need it. There we go. You need to be taught. Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. You know what? This is what we need today. For the word of God to come out and for people to sit there in what we call boomskok. It's like, wow. Look at what the Bible says. These people were amazed at the messages that Jesus brought. Why? Because let me explain something to you. Before Jesus walked the earth, there was nobody that was filled with the Spirit of God that could open up the scriptures. What you read here is the letter. The Bible says the letter kills, but the Bible also says the Spirit gives life. Jesus just came out of the desert. What happened to him in the desert? Who can help me out? Besides the devil giving him a hard time and messing with him, what else happened out there? He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me fast forward and show you something else. We're going to come back to Mark chapter 1 quickly. Let me show you what the Bible says about the Spirit of God. We're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But God has revealed all things to us by His Spirit. The Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit that is within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. All right, now there he tells us, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to reveal to us the thoughts of God, what God has to say, the plans of God, etc., etc. Does God want to speak to you through the Word of God? Does He want you to understand who He is? Does He want you to understand who you are, why He created you, your purpose in life, etc.? Of course. And when the Spirit of God is involved, He reveals these things to us. So, when Jesus walked into that synagogue, this is what starts to happen. The power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Him, when He took that scroll, for the first time, they sat in that synagogue and they didn't just get a history lesson. They heard the Word of God. Because Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the thoughts of God. So when Jesus read through those scrolls, He wasn't just quoting stuff that happened. He was speaking the Word of God into those people. And when the Word of God is spoken, how many of you know that the Word of God is also called a sword? What is the sword called in the Bible? And take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have you ever sat in a sermon and the pastor or the minister or whoever speaks a word and it's like it cuts into you. It's like you just, wow, something just happened to me there. Wow, oh, that spoke to me. That's the sword of the Spirit. It can touch, it can pinpoint things. Now, the sword of the Spirit, is it there to destroy people or is it there to destroy something else? If I put it to you this way, the sword of the Spirit is a weapon. Does God want to use that weapon against people, or does He want to use that weapon against something else? The purpose of that weapon is to put devils in their place, is to deal with witchcraft, is to deal with sorcery, is to deal with curses, is to deal with evil spirits, etc., etc. Things that go bump in the night, is to sort that out. Let's get back to the book of Mark chapter 1. Jesus has just walked into the first church, and He's beginning to preach the word. And this is what the Bible says. Verse 21, they went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath day came, Jesus went into the synagogue and He began to teach. Nothing strange about that. That's just the way things happen. The people were amazed at His teaching because He taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. There was one very big difference between Jesus and the teachers of the law. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the way He spoke would be different. Because Jesus wasn't just reading words, Jesus was speaking life. Because the anointing of God was flowing through Him. And that life, the Word of God is life to me, but death to the spirits working in my life. Hello? How many of you know demons don't like the Word of God? They got no problem with Bibles. Let me share with you a testimony. I want to share with you two testimonies. There's this family in the south of Joburg. They've got problems. Their house is haunted. Yes, these things do actually happen. Things are moving around. Things go bump in the night. The children don't sleep. They have nightmares. And the woman of the house actually sees the spirit when it comes into the house. And it always comes in their bedroom window. She actually sees this black figure come through the window, and then all hell breaks loose in the house. So I go there to go and pray for them. I walk into their house. They take me to the bedroom, and she goes and she shows me where the demon comes in at night. And guess what I see when I look at the window where the demon comes in? She's got a Bible taped there with duct tape. The Bible is open. I take the duct tape off. I take the Bible. The Bible's open on Psalm 91. I said to her, ma'am, what are you trying to achieve here? She says, no, I'm trying to keep the devil out. I said, how's that working for you? Because he still comes. How many of you know the devil is not afraid because you have a Bible in the house? He's afraid of the knowledge you have of the Bible. You see, there's a lot of people, they got plenty of Bibles in their house. They don't know nothing about the Bible. I had another woman. She also had demons messing with her at night. She was tormented and she had lots of nightmares and fear, and she felt things touch her at night. She used to sleep with her Bible open at Psalm 91, which speaks of, you know, God's protection, etc., etc. Now, I can't really remember the exact scripture, but at night she would open the Bible on Psalm 91, and then during the night the demon would open it to a passage that speaks of death and destruction. Every single night this happened. I want you to understand something. The devil is not afraid of a book. He's afraid of the truth. Why do you think Jesus says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free? If somebody reads to you from a book, they will not change your life. But if somebody speaks the truth into your life, it will change your life. And the only way to preach the truth and to speak the truth is for the Spirit of God to be involved, because He is called the Spirit of Truth. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And when He's busy, truth will begin to touch people. What is the purpose of truth? John chapter 8 verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay, now follow with me. Jesus is busy in the synagogue. The people are amazed because He taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. And then suddenly, verse 23, just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. All right. Here's a contradiction. There was a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit. Look at your neighbor. What's lurking in that person? Do you know who you're sitting next to? I'm just asking. Because let me tell you something. The person that was sitting next to this possessed man, if they knew he was possessed, they would never have sat next to him. Come on. Have you ever thought of it that way? I mean, if you walk into this church and everybody knows you're possessed, you'll be the only one sitting in that row. It's like everybody, there's like this huge circle around you. Ooh, don't go near that one. But I want you to understand something. This man walked into that synagogue. The Bible says he had a whole bunch of chochos in him. But apparently people didn't necessarily know that he had problems, because if that was the case, he would have been like the Gadarene demoniac who was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself and doing stupid things. He would have been a person that 10 men couldn't hold and chains couldn't tie. So what I want you to take from this man in Mark chapter 21 had a normal life in some areas, but there must have been big problems in other areas. His problems were not of the kind that people would push him out of the church. He was accepted in the church, otherwise he wouldn't have been sitting there. You see, there's a lot of socially acceptable demons. Gossip is one of them. In fact, gossip loves to hang around the church. Division. Ooh, division loves the church. Rejection. Do you know how many people go to church and they hear the word of God, but they can't really receive it because they can't be loved? It's like, what are you talking about? God loves me. Nobody loves me. We call that a spirit of rejection. You keep going back hoping that you'll feel better, but when you walk out, you still feel empty. The love of God never touches you because that spirit is sitting there keeping pushing it away. It's not that the love of God is not available. It's there. But because that rubbish is sitting there, it's not really touching you the way that you should. Addictions. Listen to me. If you like smoking, I can't do anything for you. If you like drinking, I can't do anything for you. But there are some people out there that are addicted to stuff and they don't want to be addicted. You know, I prayed for a woman once. Actually, I prayed for a woman and a man that have both come to me and said to me, you know what, I smoke and I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. I don't like the way I smell, I don't like the way my mouth tastes, but man, you know what, I can't stop myself from lighting that cigarette. It's because it's not you that wants it, it's the devil. It's that chocho in you. I pray for a woman one day. She's sitting in my office. She had a whole bunch of devils. I can't remember how many demons I cast out of her, but it was plenty. Feel sorry for her husband because he had a rough life. And so we've worked through a whole bunch of stuff, and this specific day she comes and she says, you know what? It's time for me to sort out something else. I say, all right, what? You know, when you take people through a process of deliverance, it's an interesting thing. It's like peeling an onion. There are different layers that you have to work through. When you start, you have to deal with the outer layer. You have no choice. It's the only layer that is available to you. But when you peel away the outer layer, then a sub layer under that begins to push through. And so sometimes the people, they find that they have different issues. It's like you'll deal with this today and it'll be gone, but then suddenly something else will rise up. And she said to me, you know what? I've been smoking since I was 12 years old. And I've done drugs before. She used to smoke weed. But she says lately it's like it's controlling her. She's become a chain smoker. She lights up one after the other, and it's the normal stuff, and it's the weed, and it's everything in between. And then she goes on a block, and then she doubts her salvation, and then she curses God, and you understand. So what was happening? That was that layer. It was time to deal with that layer. No problem. I begin to pray with her. I take authority over the demon that is manifesting. The thing pops. The thing begins to scream and perform and shout. The most interesting thing. When they speak, you can actually get the smell of stale nicotine, you know, tobacco. Have you ever smelled that? I mean, there's very few things that really smell as bad as that. It's like an old ashtray that's full of stuff. When they speak, when that demon speaks through those people, the whole air, my whole office went green. You know, like if I was a cartoon, my office would have been green. I'm like, where are you, woman? Yeah. So I say to the demon, what's your name? The demon says to me, my name is Baal, and I will kill this woman. So I thought to myself, that's a bunch of nonsense. How can your name be Baal? You're like a spirit of nicotine, or you're a spirit of cigarettes or tobacco or addiction or something. I said, no, man, your name is not Baal. What is your name? He says, my name is Baal. I said, stop lying to me. What is your name? He says, you don't know your Bible. I thought, man, don't you come and give me lip, devil. I rebuke you. I bind you in Jesus' name. But you know, he wasn't lying. Can I tell you why? Because in the Old Testament, the spirit that they offered the burnt offerings to was called Baal. And when you light that cigarette, he sees it as a burnt offering being sacrificed to him. His name is Baal. The demon wouldn't leave until I addressed him as Baal and cast him out. He left. She actually did stop smoking. Bless God for that. Yes, bless God for that. Why did I tell you that? I don't know. Somebody here probably needed to hear that. A couple of you probably needed to hear that. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. Oh. We were talking about demons that like to go to church. All right. So in any case, yeah, here's the thing. Jesus walks into this church. Everybody's hanging around, having a good time. They're in the third row, round about the same chair where you are now. Listen, yeah, I'm not cursing you. I'm just telling the story. You understand? There was a man sitting. Jesus is busy preaching. And the Spirit of God is speaking through him. The sword of the Spirit is operational. It's touching the hearts of men, but it's also touching something else, because that devil is also sitting there. It has no choice. It's working with the man. And something that Jesus said allowed the sword of the Spirit to prick that demon. Let me tell you something about demons. They will always hide rather than pop. When a demon pops in a person, it's like, what the hell? This thing has to go. People will go to the ends of the earth to get rid of it if they know it's there. But most people don't know it's there. They think, oh, God just made me this way. I'm just a naturally doubtful person. Rubbish. God did not create nobody with doubt. Doubt comes from one place, the pit of hell. Oh, you know what? When God made me, I've no guts. I'm just full of fear. The Bible says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You see, the devil gets us to accept these things as part of ourselves, but it's not who you are. It's not how God made you. That's just the circumstances that you have now because you got some stupid thing messing with you. And the Spirit of God pricked that thing. And the next moment it couldn't sit still. Listen, yeah, if this man is sitting here and I take a nice sharp needle and I prick him, how many of you know he's not going to sit still? He's going to jump. Well, when the Spirit of God is working and the Spirit of truth goes forth, for a demon it feels like he's being poked with a hot poker. And the next moment there was this huge explosion. This devil pops, freaks out, starts yelling and screaming. Listen to what he says. Verse 23. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit. Now, please listen to this. Most of the congregation is like all excited because Jesus is teaching them something. It's like, wow, this is good stuff. But there's one man that suddenly jumps up and causes a big scene. Tries to get Jesus to be quiet. Actually accuses Jesus of attempted murder. Have you come to destroy me? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Ooh, stop the bus. How did this man know who Jesus was? If it took the disciples 2 years to figure out who he was and they were with Jesus every day, how did he know who he was talking to? No, because the demon in him knew who he was talking to. The man did not know who Jesus was, but the demon in him, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Demons were all up there at one stage. And they all know their creator. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the creator. They all know him. This Chocho knew exactly who he was dealing with. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us? Verse 25, Jesus speaking, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." Be quiet and come out of him. Can you come out of yourself? Would you like to give us a demonstration of coming out? Don't come out of the closet because I'll kick your butt. Is there anybody here that can come out of himself? If you feel like coming out of the closet, get back in and wait until the feeling passes. It will go away. Pray. Jesus says, "Be quiet and come out of him." Even Jesus knew that it was not a man speaking, but something else. Because you can't tell a man to come out of himself. I want to tell you something about Jesus. Being the Son of God, he understands the reality and the existence of demons. It is the number one reason why most people's lives go nowhere. You know, there's a lot of people, they pray and pray and pray and pray. "Oh Lord, please give me strength. Oh Lord, please open doors for me. Oh Lord, please give me victory." And it just never comes. Can I tell you why? Because they're not dealing with the problem the right way. When you have a devil in your life, prayer doesn't change anything. Waging war does. Oh, what you talking about, Rion? Let me show you. We'll come back to Mark chapter 21 now. Mark chapter 1 now. If you have a Bible and you want to, you can go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." Then he goes on, let's read the rest. "Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in your place, your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take on the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Stop there. This is a message to believers. Look at your neighbor and say, "That is you." And if you don't feel like you are a believer, you're in the right church tonight because we can pray with you and you will become one. He says, look at this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood." The King James Version says, "For we war not against flesh and blood." We war not. We war not. I don't care whether you like it or not. The Bible says that there are times in your life when you will have to engage in warfare. I like to use the example of the Second World War. There was a madman by the name of Hitler that wanted to rule the world. If nobody stood up to him, today we would all be talking German. Hello? But somebody had the guts to say no and stand their ground and put him in his place. And by the grace of God, today I can speak English and Afrikaans. Amen. And here and there I can fala Portuguese. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, the people of the world did not choose war. War chose them. Now it's exactly the same in your life and in my life. You don't necessarily have to want to wage war. Something wants to wage war against you. And the only appropriate response when the enemy is coming against you is to come back and put him in his place. That is called authority. Jesus said, Luke 10, 19, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I have given you the authority. Wilson, my friend, do you believe that? Why do you let the devil push you around? You don't know. You know that spirit of fear that messes with you? You should be messing with him. You know that demon of low self-esteem that messes with you? You should be messing with him. Because Jesus says, I want him under your feet. I don't want you under his feet. But in most Christians' lives, it's the opposite around. The devil is walking over us instead of us walking over the devil, because we don't take the authority that is given to us and use it and put him in his place. And the devil knows whether you're using it or not. He recognizes authority. So, another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. All right, probably 2 Corinthians. Let's look. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. How does the world wage war? Machine guns, atom bombs. All right, we haven't had any of those since 1945, and by the grace of God, hopefully we won't have any more. But the way the world wages war is violence, man against man. Now, the Bible says we should be engaged in warfare, but not the way the world does. In other words, you should not be beating up your children. Hello? You should definitely not be beating up your wife. Please don't kick the dog. Probably doesn't deserve it, although sometimes I wonder about mine. We should not wage war as the world does, but we should be engaged in war. Now, if we're not supposed to be fighting man against man, who are we supposed to be fighting? How many of you know you should not be fighting God, because that's a recipe for disaster? I've prayed for a couple of people, yeah, that have tried to challenge God. It doesn't go well with you when you go that way. Listen to me carefully. Yet the Bible tells us that we are to engage in warfare. Well, then that only leaves one thing. The devil and his demons. There was a man that walked into the synagogue, the first place Jesus preached. Did this man know that he had problems? Yes, I'm sure he knew. Did he know that his problems were spiritual? Probably not. But Jesus did. Jesus created demons. He didn't create them as demons. They, like Satan, became perverted when they rebelled against God. Do you understand? Jesus did not create demons. Demons are fallen angels that rebelled against God. Once they served God and they did his bidding, now they serve Satan and they do his bidding. Satan, in the book of John 10, verse 10, is called the thief who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let me ask this question. Where does the thief want to steal? Who does he want to steal from? Poke your neighbor, not in a funny place, you're in church, and say, from you. Why does the devil want to steal from you? Because you have something to steal. Let's get real. Unbelievers has nothing the devil wants to steal. They already belong to him. Why should he steal anything from them? Whatever they have is his already. If they belong to him, then whatever they have also belongs to him. How many of you know it's stupid to steal from yourself? Come on, and the devil is not stupid. In fact, the Bible says that he's perfect in wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's very clever. So if it feels like stealing, if the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, who's he going to steal from? From me, from you, from all of us. What does he want to steal? Peace, hope, joy, love, faith, vision. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of vision. Do you know how many people sit in church and they've been in church for 20 years, but they still have no vision? My people perish for lack of vision. In other words, you can be a child of God for 20 years, but still go nowhere. I've met many of them. It's sad, but true. Why? Because one of the things Satan likes to steal is vision. This man did not know that he had a problem, or he knew he had a problem, but he didn't necessarily know that it was spiritual. Later on tonight, when I pray for some of you, you're going to pop off. And you're going to think, what the hell was that? It was a demon that you may or may not have known was messing with you. But it's time for it to go. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus had no time for devils. You should have no time for devils either. Wherever he found them, he sorted them out. He didn't go and look for them. But when they happened to be around, he put them in their place. You know, you get some believers. They feel that it's their God-given calling now to go and try and find demons. That is a recipe for disaster, because can I tell you something? There's a gazillion of them out there. And if you start looking for them, you will be fighting for the rest of your life. They will give you no peace, and they will destroy you. My calling is not to walk past every person. 23. 58. 200. Hello? There are many devils out there. They're not my problem. But the ones God sends across my path, I need to deal with. Okay? Why am I saying this? Well, let's get to something that I was going to talk about tonight anyway. I'm coming back to Mark chapter 1. Don't worry, we'll finish. Some people challenge the devil. Please, stop. You will get problems. Just because the devil is out there, just because he's real, and the Bible says we have been given the keys and we've been given weapons and we have authority, doesn't mean you must go out there and challenge stuff. I just told you there's a gazillion of them out there. If you go out there and you have like calling all pockets, any devil out there, I rebuke you, you will pay the price. When something messes with you, sort it out. But don't go trying to pick a fight, because you will unleash a storm of epic proportions upon your life. I'm going to share with you some examples. A young man, a couple of years ago, he understood the concept of spiritual warfare. Understanding the concept and having wisdom is sometimes two very different things. He goes hiking in the Drakensberg. That night, he's sleeping in a cave, and he gets this, what he thought was a revelation. This is the Drakensberg, which is like directly translated Dragon Mountain. If this is the Dragon Mountain, then maybe this is where the main spirit that rules over South Africa has made his home. Well, then I need to put him in his place right now, which he promptly attempted to do. He began to yell against the spirit of the dragon of Dragon Mountain. He declared war. The devil is not afraid of a war. Please understand, the devil is not afraid of war. While he was busy rebuking the devil and Khaning An, he began to feel this mind-numbing pain come all over his body. He realized somewhere along the line, I've messed up in a big way. He began to pray and say to the Lord, Lord, please, I'm sorry, I don't know what I have done. Please help me. And then he passed out. He woke up 24 hours later. His body was riddled with pain. Little by little, he began to recover. He came back. He came to see me. I prayed with him. A hair-raising demon popped in him. It left, but he went to mess with stuff that he was never supposed to mess with. Don't mess with stuff you know nothing about. Another lady that I knew, her daughter was having a lot of problems at school. She decided the one day to do something about it. She went to the school with 5 liters of olive oil, and she anointed the whole school, and she started rebuking the spirit in the school. She ended up in hospital for a week. Strange symptoms that the doctors could not deal with. I went to pray for her. With a yell and a scream, all the symptoms disappeared. Why? Because she went, she might not have understood it that way, but she went to declare war on something she was not equipped to declare war against. I was preaching in the West Rand. A girl comes to me after the service. She says, you know what? A couple of the things that you shared tonight spoke to me. I used to be part of a church where the pastor used to get us to declare war against all the territorial spirits. And every night we used to sit and pray against them. I said, and how did your life go since then? She says, I have no life. I said, no wonder. Because when you go around and you do stuff like that, there's a lot of things that will respond. And these things began to put nonsense on her. I started praying for her. Six of us could not hold that woman down. It took 2 hours to cast the demons out of her that came into her and came to harass her because of what she did. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should never pray against the devil, but I'm telling you now, you don't go look for trouble. But when you feel fear come against you, stand up against him. When you fear rejection is touching your heart, you sort him out and you put him in his place. But don't get clever and go like, ooh, you know what, there's many demons over South Africa. I rebuke all of you in Jesus' name. You will suffer. Can I tell you why? Because that is the job of the church, not the individual. Here's what Jesus said about it. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus spoke to Peter. He said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. To put this into perspective, in those days, the gates of the city was where all the lawnies hanged out. The mayor was there, the judges were there, the really rich men and the powerful men, the generals were there. If you had any power or any authority in the days that the Bible was written in, then you would always be found at the city gates. It was the seat of power. Today we would call that parliament. Back then it was called the gates of the city. Jesus says the following, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The only thing that can prevail against the gates of hell, which means the top structure, the big demons, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, is the church, not you. Let me show you how it works. Does anybody have any boxing background? Yeah, Georgie. I don't know if you can box, but I know in your young days you used to roll everybody, so please come forward. Okay. There is my boxer. Now I need a victim. Ah, yeah, you go. Come. There we go. I think somewhere in the past the two of you might have had it on already, eh? Okay, I want to show you something now. Let's say this is, who's got the naughtiest face of these two? Fernando, so you have to be the devil then. No? It's the way. This is some huge big jojo. This is our warrior believer. You now want to hit this. Okay, you have to face him now. You're not afraid of him. Pull some faces at him and just act all cocky. That should come natural to you, right? Okay. Okay, this is some big jojo giving you a hard time. I want you to, you're going to give him one shot. Please don't hit him for real. Do you have a medical aid just for? I want to, you want to hit him one shot knockout. Just take a step back, please. Just one shot knockout. Hit him. No man. I want the real deal. Don't eat him. No, man, you're supposed to listen to me. Just stop before you get to him. Yeah, stop. But show the people what it looks like to knock out. Okay, take another step back. Stop, yeah. Yeah, but don't eat my hand, please. I need it later. Eat. Woo. There we go. Okay. Heat again and then pause. 1, 2, 3. Pause. Okay. Take a look. No. Pause. Take a look at his body. He wants to sort out this chocho. Is there any part of his body that he's not using now? Yeah. Sort him out. Look at his body. If he wants to hit this thing a knockout, Fernando. If he wants to hit him a knockout, do you agree with me? He can't just stand there and go, dish. He has to put everything into it. Now here's the thing I want to tell you. George is just a pinky. The only thing his pinky has been useful for is to dig in his nose. You think the devil's afraid of that? I think not. So if it's just this, this is what happens when individuals try and take up spirits in the air and all sorts of stuff. This pinky, hit the pinky. He will break him. But if the pinky is joined to the hand and the hand is joined to the arm and the arm is joined to the torso and the torso is joined to, you understand, and it moves like a body, then you can hit them out of the air. You can both sit down. One of the reasons why we are battling to get rid of the territorial spirits in areas is because churches don't work together. It is the responsibility of the body of Christ to tackle the gates of hell. It is not the responsibility of an individual. Every time individuals try and do that, they end up getting hurt and they pick up a lot of problems. Eddie, how much time have I got left? 15 minutes, that's a lot. All right, let's get back to Mark chapter 1. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly, and come out of him. Now listen to this, verse 26. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The evil spirit shook the man violently. In other words, did the man want to shake? No. Did he plan to shake? There wasn't a version of Let's Twist Again playing in the background. He didn't have his fingers stuck in the plug. There was no logical reason for this man to shake. But when Jesus told the demon to leave him, his body began to shake and contort. And then a scream started coming out of him. What was happening? Jesus came to set the captives free. And he was setting the first captive in history free. How many of you agree with me that that is something to shout about? So please shout about it. Now I want to show you how times have changed. So now I get invited by a church to come and minister there. The first scream that comes, the congregation has a problem. No, but this is very unorganized. This is, we don't like this. Why must they scream like that? They screamed that way when Jesus prayed for people. You think I'm better than him? I can't be. If it happened that way when Jesus prayed for people, what makes you think things must be different now? You know, there's a lot of churches that refuse to invite me back after I've been there once because it's just too chaotic. There's too much yelling and too much screaming and too much performing. Well, you know what? If that's the way you feel about it, then don't invite me back. Jesus did not worry about stuff like that because he came to set the captive free. One thing you have to understand, when demons start leaving people, it is chaotic. Because there's yelling and shouting and shaking and shivering and contorting, and it might look like a circus to you, but God smiles when he sees that. Because when God sees that, he sees freedom. When God sees that, he sees the manifestation of Jesus' victory over Satan and evil spirits. Just because we have an attitude about it doesn't mean that it bothers God at all. Because when he did it, it happened that way. There are a lot of churches and a lot of believers that will never, ever, ever experience liberty and freedom because they try and tell God how to do it. You know, it's like they'll come to a meeting. It's like, you know what? I have all these problems, but please, nothing must happen to me when they pray for me. Eh? Turn around and go home. Because you don't get to choose how God does it. You get to receive what He gives you. Amen? The man fell down. The man shook. The man screamed. But look at this. Verse 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Let's say Galilee was about the size of Gedult. I want to show you how times have changed. Jesus cast out a demon in this church. He walked in there, he cast out the demon. And the Bible says, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Today when God casts out a demon, it's like no big deal. People don't even talk about it. Can I tell you why people don't talk about it? Because it's like there's this stigma. If you had a demon, you must be a bad person. How many of you know that Jesus died for bad people? To make them good people. And sometimes part of the process is actually having to be delivered. Hello? But society has told us, and the religious spirits of our age have told us, oh, number one, there can't be things like that. And number two, these things don't happen. And number three, this will only happen to bad people. You know, we can associate witch doctors with demons and witches with demons and rapists with demons. But, you know, me? No, I can't have stuff like that. Says who? Raise your hands if you've had a perfect life. Then you've come to the right place tonight. Amen? Bless God. Now, Jesus prayed for this man, and the Bible says news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. In Jesus' day, people still knew how to be excited about God. Today, for some weird reason, we've lost it. We're very excited about the Springboks. We're very excited about the Blue Bulls. How can you scream for something with horns? Please explain that to me. Anyway, let's not go there. Lions, lions. Now you know who I support. In Jesus' day, people still knew how to be excited about God. Today, we get excited about other things. Ooh, did you see that new Oprah thing? Oprah doesn't know what she's talking about. Hello? She's just confusing people. Dr. Phil has many opinions, but they're not necessarily biblical. Check what he says in the Bible and you'll find out. The things we should be getting excited about is God, because He will change your life. When was the last time you were truly excited about Him? When was the last time you went to work and you did not talk about the party you went to? You did not talk about the movie that you saw? You spoke about God the whole day because you were so excited about what you experienced in church. These people were excited about what God did. You want to know why Jesus did so many miracles? Because people were excited. They couldn't wait to get more. Today it's like God does something. Been there, done that, seen that. The Bible says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. According to your faith, it shall be given unto you. People don't go to church with an expectation anymore. It's like we go for a boring lecture and cook and tea. That shouldn't be why you're going. You should go to receive from God. You should go to have an encounter with God. Maybe if you change your expectation, what you receive will be different. Tonight, you're in a place where anything can happen. But what is your expectation? If your expectation is just to hear a sermon and go home, that's all you're going to get. But if your expectation is to encounter God, you will encounter God. What is your expectation? These people were excited about God. Now let me show you. How excited were they? Let me read you the next verse, verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on him. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Did you hear that? That evening. Why did the people come in the evening? Because they were not allowed to travel in the day. It was called the Sabbath. You were allowed to go to the synagogue and you must go home. So they were very excited about what happened that morning. But they couldn't go until the sun set. And the moment the sun set, there was a riot. Everybody came from everywhere. And the Bible says the whole town was waiting at the door of Simon's mother's house when Jesus came out. How many of you know that they were excited about God? And this is what happened. Look at this. Look at this. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had diverse diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The reason he made them quiet is because they all kept saying, I know who you are. I know who you are. Jesus had enough of it, and he said, be quiet. Just leave. The whole town came to the door. Do you think those people knew that they were full of demons? Some of them just thought they're sick. Some of them just thought, you know what, I have some emotional disturbances. Some of them just thought depression is normal. Some of them just thought, well, you know, I have an attitude. That's just the way I was made. A lot of them got rid of that when Jesus prayed for them. There was two things that he did. He healed many diseases and he cast out many devils. Diseases and devils often go hand in hand. It seems to be an easy way for the devil to steal from people. I would like that lady to come forward for me quickly, please. Macy, just make your way forward for me, please. Okay, so tonight, we're busy talking about curses, and I went off on a bit of a tangent, but I have a suspicion that this was necessary. I want to introduce you to a young lady. Her name is Macy. And she would like to share with you a testimony.
Please speak into the mic because otherwise I can't record you. Thank you.
Ek was verlede jaar toe Riani so begin het, was ek die tweede week toe Riani begin het, het ek het eers my maand het hulle gesê ek het kanker die einde my maand. So Riani het hier so gekom en my vriendin het vir my gesê ek moet hiernatoe kom dat Riani vir my moet bid. Okay, ek het hier so gekom en Rian het vir my gebid. Soos hy nou gesê het, die soort van die Here het hy gevoel. Want ek het dit absoluut gevoel vir die Here gevra om my te genees. My voet het warm geword en my hele been het geruk soos wat Rian vir my gebid het. Ek het ons...
Have you got the photos problem. Of a toe? Look quickly.
Okay, die hospitaal het gesê... Ongelukkig het ek nie medies nie, so ek het Pretoria toe gegaan. Hulle gaan die voet voor by die toon agteraf sit, die hele voet. Ek het soos in gehuil, ja. Duivel was ook maar daar gewees. En Rian het vir my gebid, vir Here gevra, dit sal nie gebeur nie en dit het nie gebeur nie. Ek het teruggegaan, ek is genees van die kanker, wat hulle gesê het, wat al tot by my lewer versprei het, is weg. En ons kan hier die Here prys daaroor. En ja... En ek moet elke 6 maande gaan vir ondersoeking. Goed, ek het donderdag wat verby is, my uitslag gekry. Ek is nog steeds kankervry en ek kan net vir die Here dankie sê daarvoor. Maar, ek wil net vir julle sê, ek was daar gewees die vorige week, 2 weke terug. Toe het hulle vir my gesê, die sonaars, die scans, alles wat hulle gedoen het, daar is definitief weer iets vir my voet. Hulle kan nie sê wat het is nie, of het weer kanker is of nie. So verlede week in Sondag het Dion weer vir my gebid, Rian weer vir my gebid, vir die Here gevra om my weer te genees van die kanker en goed, maar ons het geweet ek is genees. So donderdag toe ek die uitslag kry, toe sê sy vir my, daar's cellulitis, Maar dit's baie beslis nie kankerselle nie, dis net inflammasie wat ek het.
Amen. Thank you. You don't have it. It's not on your phone. Oh, it's on your other phone. Oh, that's a pity. Okay, anyway. This is what the young lady shared. She came here towards the end of last year. She was diagnosed with cancer in her toe. And it didn't look good. It was, there was like a huge growth on the toe. It was pitch black. From what I remember, can I just share with them what I saw on the photos? You know when somebody has, when you've, not gangrene, you know when you've been exposed to ice, frostbite, and the toes go black. Her toe was like black. The whole toe, there was this huge black part on the toe. And the doctors told her that she has cancer and that they'll have to amputate the toe and they might have to amputate the foot. And like she said, the doctors told her that the cancer had spread all the way to her liver and what. She came and we prayed for her. She fell down on the floor and her whole side began to shake. I remember her foot shook uncontrollably. What does the Bible say? How did things happen when Jesus prayed for people? Shook violently. How long did you shake that day? Can you remember? It was about maybe 50 minutes, close to an hour. At one stage, she called me and she was like very panicky. It's still happening. I said, listen, yeah, God is still working. Give him time. The finger of God takes his time. Well, she's healed. Amen. Okay. We're talking about curses. One final verse I want to share with you, and then we'll get to the practical side. Mark chapter 1. Verse 39. So Jesus traveled throughout Galilee. He preached in their synagogues, and he drove out demons. Do you hear what the Bible says? What did Jesus do? You know, when we come from a traditional background, we see Jesus as coming to a synagogue, preaching a nice message, touching a couple of people, they're healed, everything is orderly, everything is nice. But what does the Bible say about him? He traveled from synagogue to synagogue, and part of his ministry was casting out devils. How did the devil come out in the first synagogue? Yelling, shouting, and screaming. So what happened in the other synagogues? Lots of yelling, shouting, and screaming. Because that was the way. Just because we got clever and we don't like it that way, doesn't mean that God doesn't want it that way. What is discipleship? It's to do what Jesus did. You know, there's some of you sitting here, you've got like a little bracelet that says WWJD. What would Jesus do? Let me tell you what he would do. He would sort out the devil. So let me ask you this question. What are you doing? There's some of you, yeah, you've got some devils giving you a hard time instead of you giving them a hard time. Well, you can give them a hard time if you choose to. You have authority. There is an anointing here. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. The man in the synagogue in Mark chapter 1 did not necessarily know that he had demonic problems, but he knew he had problems. When he encountered Jesus, he understood that they were demonic. There are some of you sitting here tonight, you got some problems, but you might not know that they are demonic. If you give God a chance, you will see whether they are or not. I'm not speaking anything over you. If you don't have demons, you don't have demons. Bless God for that. But if you do, you should rather get rid of them than keep them. It's not a bargain to keep them. Because every one of them is a thief that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Tonight, by the time you leave, I would love to see you leave with abundant life, not a thief. Can somebody give the Lord a big hand, please? We will continue with this series next week. and the week after, and the week after, and whenever we finished, we stopped. Did anybody learn something tonight? Please give the Lord a big hand of praise. All right, can I ask that, ladies, please help us with the offering. Guys, please come help us with the CDs. I actually want to just ask, there's a lot of people here tonight. Please don't take more than one CD per family. Otherwise, the people at the back are not going to get. So if you are four in the family, one between the four, please. Otherwise, it's never going to work. I actually want to just say something quickly before we go on. I want to get back to that scripture, John chapter 3, verse 8, that says, the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he's going and you don't know where he comes from. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. Tonight I showed you the things that happened when Jesus prayed for people. There are some of you, yeah, you come from churches where you know that this will never be acceptable. Well, you better put that attitude down tonight. Or what God has for you cannot happen. The wind wants to blow. It's your choice whether you open yourself up to receive him or not. Let me tell you something about the wind. We're in a building now. If we close all the doors of this building and the wind blows outside, we haven't stopped the wind from blowing, but we've stopped the wind from touching us. That's what a lot of churches do. They close their doors to the wind. The wind is called the Spirit of God. You are the one that opens the door. God doesn't kick doors open. Why should he? It's your choice. God spoke to the Israelites in the desert. He said, today I call heaven and earth as witnesses over you, that I have placed before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life so that you and your descendants may live. It's your choice what you want to do. God will not force you. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can touch you and set you free. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can touch you and release healing. But he's going to do it his way, not your way. You can't come to a meeting like this and tell God what to do. If you've already started, please repent. You don't get to tell God how to do what he does. Did you put the sun in the air? No. Did you create the moon and the stars? No. Did you separate the waters and the earth? No. God did, and he knows best. Some people shake, so shake. Some people scream, so scream. Please don't scream extra loud. Our eardrums really take a hammering sometimes. But what I'm trying to do is, I want to get you to understand that you can't stand there and like, oh, don't let anything happen. Don't let anything happen. Nothing will happen. That's what you wanted, isn't it? Nothing. You won't get nothing from God if that's your attitude. Your attitude must simply be, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's all. What needs to happen must happen. Finished, clock. Let me just say that sometimes the demons come out the back. Then I'm hoping I'm standing in front of you and not behind you, that's all. I want to share with you a testimony before we stop. I'm in Cape Town and I'm preaching in a church down there. I can't remember the area, but it was a colored area. And you know, let's just say praise God for colored people because they're different. Amen. So this auntie comes to the front. She says, please, pastor, you must pray for me. I say, what's wrong? Oh, big problems. What? I say, right, in the name of Jesus, what? Oh, she begins to manifest. She begins to vomit. I said, bring me a bucket quickly. I could see the pastor nearly died because she vomited all over his carpet. Bring a bucket quickly. So they come running with a bucket. The next moment, this thing comes out. What I didn't know, she had false teeth. Tell you what, when that demon left, the false teeth went. Her false teeth went straight down the aisle. I had nobody's attention after that. Everybody was laughing. But can I tell you what happened to that woman? She had problems with her legs and problems with her knees. She couldn't walk properly. She was healed that day. If she, yeah, give the Lord a hand. If she had an attitude problem and she said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I want to be very hoity-toity and everything must be perfect," she would not be touched by God. We can laugh about this now. But she at least allowed the wind to blow where the wind wanted to blow. And she reaped the benefit and the fruit thereof. Bless God.